It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Dustin Hawkins with Greg Pickle. We're back. Mentioned earlier, we're going to circle back to just where things stand with transfers. And I think, Penn State, for whatever reason, a lot of names were made public. Mm-hmm. Lamont Wade was one of them. And I think all along, Lamont Wade, who, if you're just joining us, did announce on Sunday that he's coming back to Penn State. And we just weren't sure if that was going to be the case for any of these guys,
right?
For some of these guys, for most of these guys, there's still so much to learn about where things are. And for Penn State, I just want we've mentioned this before, but why so many names? Do they have more names than other schools, or are more names just public? Or did James Franklin really have conversations with these guys where he explained the ins and outs of the transfer portal and made sure that they considered it for mutual gain? You know, I think in this day and age, I'll let you talk in a second, Greg, I promise.
No rush.
In this day and age, I think the path for if you want to be a nationally relevant college football program is turning your roster over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think James Franklin is pro turning his roster over.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, a couple of things. I think it's all of the above to what you just said. It's the fact that some of these guys were graduate. I think they have a higher number of expected graduates than when's the last time you can think of all these guys graduating in May? Excuse me. I mean, I can't recall a time, but the flip side of that is the flip side of all of this. It wasn't necessarily a reason. Guys didn't have a reason to put on social media that, hey, I graduate in May because they weren't going to leave. But now this whole thing of the almost free agency of college football and all this, you never have had to sit out a year if you were grad transferring, but Penn State never had, I can't recall a lot of guys that could be in that position. But let's be honest, a lot of the guys that are electing to do so, they've kind of been recruited over in a way. They came to Penn State at a time when they were what guys that Penn State needed. Then James Franklin and his staff rip off, two, three very strong recruiting classes in a row. Suddenly, if those guys didn't develop like they thought they would, like Penn State thought they would, or maybe they did, and their ceiling is just below the floor for some of these guys that were high four-star and five-star recruits, it makes total sense that if you can say, I have my degree, I have graduated, and I want to go play somewhere else, to go ahead and go do it. So, we talk a lot about, why do guys transfer and what are the reasons behind all this. I just think it's Penn State had a lot of guys that were at this graduation point. And, I don't think this will be a yearly occurrence. It could be. We'll have to obviously wait another year to see if that's the case. Yeah. But they had a lot of guys that were in a position of maybe not playing as much as they wanted to, maybe thinking they could play more elsewhere. And, oh, by the way, had the opportunity to leave and not sit out a year because of this grad transfer rule that's been in effect for quite some time. These guys just happened to be graduating in May.
So I know Lamont Wade is the starting point for this, but we also had a good talk about Alex Gellerstedt and the fact that the writing was on the wall for him as a prime example of this. I think he made a good positive impression when he first arrived at Penn State. I don't think that he was ever destined to develop at a rate where he was ever going to be able to hold off a guy like Rashid Walker.
Right.
Now, from the outside looking in, we couldn't really tell exactly how Rashid Walker was developing, but we knew that he was a pretty freakish athlete, and it looked like his development was going as planned for Penn State. So with that in mind, Rashid Walker as a redshirt freshman looked like he had the edge on Alex Gellerstedt, who would be a redshirt, junior.
Right.
So, but another part of this puzzle for Penn State is that James Franklin has discussed this, and I think this is good evidence that he is actually sticking to it, where he wants guys to graduate early enough that they have options. And I think he spoke more directly about leaving for the NFL early.
Right.
He wants guys to be able to have that option for themselves. But then you have this situation. It's an interesting combination of factors, is that you're promoting this to kids, and I don't think he's ever going to stop promoting that to kids, because it's in everybody's interest, I think, to have flexibility with the roster, where he's promoting graduating in 3 or 3.5 years, and this transfer portal takes down some of the barriers to explore transferring. You can pick whatever destination you want. You don't really have to get the coach's permission now. You just can do it. And you have these guys who are going to be grad transfers with 2 years of eligibility left. And you don't really think about that when you think about grad transfers, but I think Penn State, they very well could lead the country in 2 year grad transfers coming out of the program.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point. Yeah, I was looking here for the quote and I haven't been able to find it, but it was pretty early on in James Franklin's tenure. I thought it was his first news conference, but it doesn't appear that it was.
I feel like it's come up a couple times. And maybe around NFL draft time, it's come up even more. Maybe when Saquon was going through the process, he was discussing wanting to give guys that option. You have Gellerstedt and Zach McPherson for sure, redshirt sophomores now, who are going to have 2 years to play someplace else without sitting out.
Yeah, I mean, so I finally did come across it. This was from May. So we're talking like probably his first year on the coach's caravan, I would suspect, that he was out on the road talking about this whole thing. And you're right. I mean, the idea basically was to, you know, either get them in a place where they can graduate and go to the NFL combine and obviously end up at the draft, or get them in a position to start working on a second degree. Some guys will decide to work on that second degree somewhere else because they think they can get on the field faster. But the point still remains that this was the goal from the day where the year, you know, the months that James Franco stepped on campus, he was going to, I don't want to make it sound like a car wash, but that's essentially what it was. You get your best guys in, you recruit the best talent that you can. You're probably going to play him early because what's the sense in redshirting a guy that's only going to play 3 or 4 years of college football because he's that talented and can go on to the NFL. So all of this is, you know, we haven't heard from James Franken publicly since the Citrus Bowl, but my suspicion is the next time he talks, he'll probably say something to the effect of, all of this is exactly how we planned it to go. You know, this is exactly what we now. Are the numbers higher than the national average? Yeah, probably. Did they kind of plan for that to be the case? In a way, yes. To go back to your other point, did he have conversations with these guys at the end of the season? Sure. And so did the position coaches. So did the coordinators. You know, I don't think there's any secrets in the college football world and these team rooms and so on. I don't think there's any secrets about where guys stand. You know, maybe in some cases there are, but I would say the vast majority of these guys know exactly where they stand, what they have to do if they want to get on the field, and how many obstacles in terms of other players they have to, you know, jump over if they want to, if they want to get on the field more frequently.
Do you think this is bad for college football or good for college football? You know, obviously giving players more rights is something that I'm in favor of. Creating a situation where this is like free agency, it is yet another prong of the recruiting arm, because let's just say James Franklin, for example, there's an opportunity. You got to re-recruit guys who are already on your roster. You have got to recruit, obviously, leading up to two different signing days, and you've got to recruit then and be in the market for receiving transfers as well. This is how the game's going to be played. And it was like, nobody's got sympathy for a guy who's making $5 million, $6 million, whatever. But you also, boy, it's just a lot on their plate too, and this is just even more.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately I'm in favor of anything that gives these guys the opportunity to A, get a degree, and B, move on and then play somewhere else if they think they can get more playing time. Let's be honest, the playing field can be vastly different 3 years into a player's time in a program than it was when he got there. Coaches could be different. Coordinators could be different. Head coach could be different. The whole staff could be, you know, the changeover is the staff could have a major changeover, and so on and so forth. So I think that, you know, if you're expecting guys to not want to move on, you're going to be in for a world of disappointment, really, because the guys are going to move on. There's simply just a matter of how public it becomes, because this isn't necessarily built to be public, but it becomes public pretty quickly. And then after that, what impact are these guys leaving, you know, having on your program? Is it more about practice guys? Is it guys you thought were going to be starters? Is it a mixture of the two? And then how do you deal with that moving forward, not just with your recruiting, but your development with other guys on the roster?
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. And, we talked about just the idea of guys coming in. Where do things stand? I know there's just faint grumblings out there about grad transfers that Penn State might be in the market for. RJ Proctor was a guy that we mentioned earlier, but where do things stand on that front? How many or what should fans expect as far as getting these guys in?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, RJ Proctor is the one we heard of the most, I think, so far. Matt Limegrover was just down to see him, Virginia offensive lineman, who probably will visit sometime, you know, maybe during the spring. Lawrence Cager, the Baltimore product, Miami receiver, he's a name that's been bounced around. Other than that, I think, honestly, some of these names might pop up beforehand, but to me, I think we'll probably see most of the, like, for example, you know, Juwan Johnson, the word's out there that he's visiting Oregon. I'm sure he's going to visit other schools, but I'm sure that's not being talked about right now. You know, I think you're going to learn more about which guys Penn State's pursuing at the blue-white game, right? Because they will do everything in their power to get these guys to that game, to show them the spring game environment, and obviously get them around the coaches and the players on a as close to a simulated game day as you can get. So, to me, I think obviously we'll have some names leak out here and there, you know, moving forward, but ultimately, in my mind, I think we'll learn most of that list during the blue-white game and spring practice.
Let me just circle back to this now, to moving on from transfers and into recruiting. What did you make of 24/7 Sports really taking a stand on Lance Dixon, where he's a guy who I think he was a top 200 player most across the board, but they at their end of cycle rankings make him a five-star and rank him number 13 overall. I think the number two linebacker, only behind Brandon Smith in the 2019 class. I was blown away by that. I guess it's probably anytime one of these services gets out of, not to say groupthink, but really takes a position, I think it's interesting. But for Lance Dixon, who he's an elite athlete. I don't think there's any way around that. And I think he's different because of that athleticism than other guys that Penn State has brought in who haven't been true blue linebackers. Because he's got 2 years of linebacker experience and super fast, super athletic. I'm into it. I like it.
Yeah, this sort of goes back to our point that we talked about before of you know, Penn State having a guy in Lance Dixon who people thought Brandon Smith, you know, would be the star in his class. And he is. There's no question about it. But don't forget about Lance Dixon. Don't sleep on Lance Dixon. Yeah, 247 made a stand here. They're either going to be really right or really wrong in about 3 or 4 years. We'll have to wait and see.
I can't help but think that they're going to be right. I know I just got the message from Jim. Ross Tucker really likes Lance Dixon. Hopefully he likes Lance Dixon more than he likes Saquon Barkley as a recruit. So we'll nice. Say we all know how that one went. All right, moving on. We're going to get some more insight on the transfer and recruiting situation. Mark Brenner from Fight On State joins us in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.